Wally, tell us a little bit about how you got recruited or how you joined the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO.
Well, most people think recruitment starts at recruitment centers somewhere in the cities of Ramallah or Bethlehem. Recruitment starts at the mosque level. When you go to the mosque, the preparation for ideology is has permeated throughout the Middle East. So if I go, let's say, to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, you have Sheikh Ikrimah Sabri, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, whose predecessor was Hajj Amin al-Husseini, who was called the Führer of the Arab World. He was my grandfather's friend. And he would make fiery sermons. I mean, these sermons were going on in the 20s even by Hajj Amin al-Husseini when Nazism was prevalent. And at the same era after the Israelis took over Jerusalem, you know, later on, early 70s, you know, you hear these sermons all from the mosques becoming more stronger. And it starts off by denying the Holocaust ever existed and diverting all holy places that the Jews have becomes holy Muslim places that were stolen by the occupying Zionists. So the Wailing Wall became Al-Buraq Wall or became a Muslim holy place. Racial's Tomb was renamed to become Bilal Mosque. So two things, you know, denial of the Holocaust and establishment of holy places in Jewish areas, which was known Jewish synagogues to become Muslim places, to build the hatred towards Israel. So the anger level starts building up when the Al-Aqsa Mosque was burnt by, I guess, a Canadian at one point in time. Of course, Israel was accused of plotting that burning, so you had demonstrations in the streets and things like that. So the hatred level becomes at the mosque level. And you go also to the, even if you go to a Christian club, it was a different, it was a more of a socialistic ideology. So it was a mixture of all different ideologies between PLO and Muslim Brotherhood and PFLP, Popular Front to Liberate Palestine, which was also a secular movement.
Right.
And, you know, you have George Habash, who's supposed to be a Christian, you know, also calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. Then, you know, the desire from teenagers or the youth to start wanting to make activities of bombings and planting bombs became very strong. Students will get together and, you know, relatives or cousins or friends, and they'd want to plot an activity, so they'd be looking for a, at this point, for a bomb maker or for going to Lebanon or going across the border to Jordan and trying to collaborate with, you know, training, to get training and in bomb making and things like that, and coming back after they've been recruited in these centers or going to Lebanon receiving training and explosives and then that kind of thing. So these people who were trained will be seeked by the youth to plant bombs. So I was seeking sort of martyrdom in a way. Because
sure. And how old were you then, Waleed?
I was 16.
16, okay.
16. So then, you know, you get your frustration out by demonstrating everywhere in Jerusalem, whether it's in the village. I remember my first demonstration where the Israelis came and we burned tires and Molotov cocktails and clubs and knives and what have you, bottles. And
that was probably the most excitement you had in years, I would guess, in terms of just so-called entertainment value. That's probably pretty exciting for a 16-year-old, isn't it?
Yes, this is exciting. Just as exciting as you see in the West, you know, when they start flipping cars and, you know, they go to discos and some soccer or that kind of thing. But the difference was that it was much more violent.
Yes.
And the violence escalated to the point that lynchings became prevalent in the streets of so-called collaborators, and they started gutting these people out and putting their hearts and kidneys in a platter, and you see the entire population of Ramallah, the capital of Palestine, everybody trying to grab a piece of the flesh of the collaborator and screaming Allahu Akbar in a euphoric frenzy fashion. So it became the night of the living dead. It evolved further and further, and nothing was stopping it. And, you know, and the world community started looking at this as an intifada, and it's a desire for the Palestinians to establish a state. So they gave them, they started giving them land. Israel started issuing, you know, okay, fine, we'll give you Gaza, we'll give you this, we'll give you Jericho, we'll give you... And that didn't work. It seemed to have escalated because the confidence level of the Islamists started building up. Now it started moving into more Islamism till the point that 73% of the Arabs, even all around the Arab world, wanted Islamic fundamentalist state in Palestine. If you see, there was a survey that was done by the Al Arabiya Network where 113,000 Arabs were surveyed.
Yes.
And over 73% wanted Hamas to be the representation to the Palestinian people. And the United States twisted Israel's arm to allow the Jerusalem Arabs to vote. And even though Israel warned them, they said, well, you know, Hamas will be elected. And nobody listened because Americans in their mindset, they felt that if we give them democracy, then they will kind of get a sensible approach of learning democracy from the West and, you know, so getting civilized. But that didn't work. That gave the confidence build-up that the Islamists were looking for. So then the secular government of the Palestinians kind of dissipated and Hamas kind of moved in. And since Gaza was given back to the Palestinians and not any other city, Gaza was the capital of Hamas, the Islamist movement. So the argument from the Islamists was that, look, we get land if we go back to Islamic fundamentalism.
Right, right.
So that even built up more of Islamic fundamentalist confidence, especially with the Muslim fundamentalists who were aiding the community, the refugees, giving money, giving them finances when there's a family that loses a child in a suicide bombing. They would help them, give them $30,000, build an addition to the house. And they were more honest socially than the secular Palestinian government, where Arafat, you know, pocketed all the money that was given to him by the EU and by the United States and everybody else. So they saw the corruption in the secular government of the Palestinians, and they saw honest, more honesty coming from the Islamist movement. That also built more confidence. So the cycle just never ended from there.